We'll look into one of the biggest strikes in China in years. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. It's one of the biggest labor disputes to hit China in many years. A strike at a massive shoemaking complex has spread from Guangdong to a neighboring province today. It's now the second week of a strike by about 40,000 workers at Weiwen Industrial Holdings, makers of footwear for all sorts of familiar brands, from Adidas to Nike to Reebok. Workers say for years the company's been shortchanging them on their social insurance and housing payments. On Thursday, a company director agreed to make an extra payment to social welfare packages, but the strike continues. Jeffrey Crothall is communications director for China Labor Bulletin, which promotes workers' rights in China. Mr. Crothall, good morning.
Good morning.
How significant is this strike, do you think?
I think it's important simply because of the sheer scale of it. Normally, when factory workers go out on strike in China, you're talking about a few hundred, a few thousand. Here, we've got a few tens of thousands. So that does make it rather unusual and a major headache for the authorities.
What prompted Chinese workers to be more, you could say, proactive, you could say more aggressive in defending their rights here?
There's been a lot of changes in the manufacturing industry in China over the last few years. A lot of factories are relocating, changing ownership, switching production. And this has led to a lot of uncertainty and tension in the workplace. And in the past, workers felt that they were just lucky to get a job anywhere. That situation has changed now, and the workers know that the factories are lucky to have them, and that has led to a little bit of change of balance of power.
Now, the management in this case has made some concessions, but it appears this is not enough for the strikers.
Yes, the basic problem is an issue of trust. Promises of something in the future are not always going to do the job.
Jeffrey Crothall with China Labor Bulletin in Hong Kong. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
New research shows that inequality in wages isn't the only thing growing in the U.S. There's a growing divide in wealth. From the Wealth and Poverty Desk, Marketplace's Noel King has the story.
First, a definition. Wealth is the value of what you own, your house, your car, your stocks and bonds, minus your debts. Gabriel Zuckman is a researcher at UC Berkeley who co-authored a new study on wealth.
The big winners are people with more than 20 million in assets, the top 0.1%, and even more so, people with more than 100 million in assets, the top 0.01%.
So who's in that group? Think executives and bankers whose incomes are tied to the stock market and corporate profitability.
People at the top of the wealth distribution earn higher returns on their assets.
So who is in the regular old 1%? Edward Wolf is a professor of economics at NYU.
These are people who you're not going to see in the society pages. Normal lawyers who do real estate law, and a lot of doctors, surgeons. You know, there are probably a few professors in there.
They are still considered wealthy, but the gap between them and the 0.1% is growing. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
Military families living on tight budgets can shop at the commissary, government stores that sell brand-name goods at or close to wholesale. Now, as a cost-saving measure, officials are looking at a bit of a radical notion, letting the commissaries stock generic along with the name brands. Kate Davidson reports.
Mommy!
No, we don't need those, buddy.
Steering two kids and two loaded carts, Jessica and Pat Donaldson are wrapping up a big shop.
Here, hold my wallet.
She's in the Navy, and actually, they live near the Fort Belvoir Commissary in Virginia. But they do these big runs off-base at Aldi's, Costco, and here at Wegmans. They like the produce.
Spinach!
And yogurt, canned fruit, pasta, all store brand.
The generics that we can get outside of the commissary is certainly far cheaper for us than what we could get buying name brands in the commissary.
Commissaries offer 30% savings on a typical basket of brand name goods, but they can't sell generics. Now that the Pentagon has proposed a $1 billion commissary cut, commissary prices are expected to rise. And some officials are wondering if stocking generics is a solution.
If I'm a young soldier and I choose to go to the commissary and the only thing I can buy is Green Giant or Hunt's brands.
That's Sergeant Major of the Army Raymond Chandler at a recent congressional hearing.
But I can go to Walmart and get great value, and that's 30 cents less for a can of corn than it is in the commissary.
So stock generics and everyone saves, right? Well, upsetting the commissary ecology has risks, says Tom Gordy. He heads the Armed Forces Marketing Council, representing brokers who work with the name brands. So, say the Defense Commissary Agency went out and contracted for a store brand. Let's call it Five Star Food.
That means the name brand products that are on the shelves will lose their shelf space, and they will also lose volume of sales.
Five Star Food would have costs, so to make it look as cheap as a civilian generic, Gordy says commissaries might have to mark up their remaining name brands even more.
And so the manufacturers right now, most of them give best pricing to the Defense Commissary Agency.
They also provide marketing dollars. They even stock shelves. All, Gordy says, to support a military benefit. They might be less inclined to subsidize a military business. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
And if Schadenfreude is taking delight in another's misfortune, what's it called to take delight in someone else's good fortune? Being a well-adjusted person, perhaps. I only mention it because it's a national holiday in Britain, Germany, France, New Zealand, and beyond today. But a workday here, so checking the numbers before we go. The Nikkei in Japan closed down just slightly, 3 points. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.